I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll.
Yes, my friend, how grateful I am that God has given us something lasting to build our lives upon, that solid rock. Actually, that something is a someone, and his name is Jesus. You can confidently place your hope in him too, but only if you know him in a personal way. It's a joy to welcome you to the Voice of Hope today. I'll be sharing a message from God's Word in just a few minutes, a message that will build up your hope in God and His Word. Right now, let's rejoice with the choir as they sing about our hope for the future. Thank you, choir, for reminding us of the glorious future we have as followers of Jesus. But you know, not all people share in that future. Some of them have never heard the gospel, and they don't know anything about heaven. They're lost in the darkness of sin, and they're living in hopelessness. Unless we tell them about Jesus' love for them, they'll never know. That's why, at Heralds of Hope, we're so grateful for your partnership with us in sharing the gospel through radio programs, Bible distribution, and partnership with indigenous ministries in Asia and Africa. Through your prayers and financial support, many are hearing the gospel and receiving the forgiveness of their sins offered in Jesus. We receive many testimonies each year of lives transformed by the power of the gospel. Here's a text message from a person who listens to our Swahili language broadcasts in the East African country of Kenya. Greetings, Pastor. Your program has been of great help in my life. I started listening to it before I received Jesus as my personal Savior. It was through your program that I got to know and love Jesus. I eventually gave my life to Him. God bless you for being a channel to reach and bless souls. Now, friend, if you're one who partners with us at Heralds of Hope through your prayers and financial support, then that thank you note is for you. Just imagine the joy of meeting this person and many others when you get to heaven and finding out that you had a part in their conversion. My friend, the name of Jesus is powerful, and it changes lives. Now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that glorious name of Jesus. Thank you that it is through his precious name that we're able to enter your presence now and to enter your presence for all eternity. That will be a greater joy than we can ever imagine. We thank you that when our faith becomes sight and our hope becomes reality, we will rest in the light of your love for all eternity. What a glorious thought, Father. And we thank you for the testimony of this listener from Kenya, Africa, who has come to faith in Jesus through the radio programs. He will be joining us around your throne. But Father, there's sadness too, as we think of all those who won't be there. Some have never heard about your love for them and your plan of salvation. Some refuse to recognize their need of a Savior. And some think they can make it to heaven on their own terms. Others think you will just overlook their sin. But now, Father, as we open the Word today and examine the words of Jesus, I pray you'll show us clearly there is only one way to be accepted by you. Open our understanding now because we're asking in the name of Jesus. Amen. Chapter 3 of John's Gospel contains one of the most familiar and beloved verses of Scripture. In fact, it's one of the first verses that I memorized as a child. And there are a couple of things that make this verse a favorite. First of all, it gives us the gospel message in just one short verse. And it clearly emphasizes the truth that the gospel is universal and eternal. Some of you know by now that I'm talking about John 3:16. Today, we want to look at this verse and the verses that surround it. Now, you might say, what's the point? If these verses are so familiar, why should we spend time looking at them? Well, just for a moment, think of any subject that you are familiar with. Got it? Okay. Have you learned all there is to know about your subject? Of course not. How many times in life have you thought you had a thorough understanding of something, only to find out later that there were important things you didn't know? And then you had to revise your thinking and your actions. You see, if we're honest, we must admit, the more we know, the more we realize we don't know. All of us are influenced by our surroundings. We're influenced by the things we read, the things we see and hear, and the things we've been taught. From all of those, we develop a process of filtering information in our minds. We call it a worldview. So when I hear some new information, right away, that filtering process begins. As Christians, we need a biblical worldview, an understanding of our world through the lens of biblical truth. That filter, if you want to call it that, will help us make correct decisions about what's taking place around us. It will help us to understand our world properly. The development of a biblical worldview begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 3, we have the account of Nicodemus coming to Jesus. I believe Nicodemus wanted to maintain a biblical worldview. Observing Jesus and his ministry had raised some questions in Nicodemus' mind. Here was some new information, and he wanted to see how this information fit with what he already knew to be the truth. So let's look carefully at what takes place in this portion of Scripture and then make application of the truth to our own lives. I've titled the message, Believing is Seeing. Listen now as I read John chapter 3 and verses 1 to 18. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now I invite you to observe with me the steps that will enable us to understand that believing is seeing. Step 1 is gather the facts. Nicodemus wanted information about Jesus. So what did he do? He went to the source. He didn't ask other people. He went to see Jesus. That's important for you and me to remember. Get your information from the best possible source, especially when you're asking about matters that will affect your eternal destiny. One of the things we need to do as we're gathering information is to admit that we have a particular bias. Notice Nicodemus' question was made in the form of a statement. What did he want to know? Where was his focus? Well, look at what he says. No man can do these miracles or these signs that you do unless God is with him. So Nicodemus was focused on doing. You may remember the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, and his question was, What good thing must I do to have eternal life? This concept of doing something to merit acceptance with God was a common idea in Jesus' day. And you know something? It's still with us today. But Nicodemus was about to get his mind stretched. So Jesus takes Nicodemus' curiosity and he uses it to his advantage. Here was a teachable moment. Jesus said, Unless you are born again, you cannot see, you cannot understand or participate in the kingdom of God. That's fact number one. In other words, you've got to believe in order to see. And notice Jesus didn't say anything about doing. So imagine, if you can, the thoughts that are turning over in Nicodemus' mind. He's thinking, babies are little, and yet the birth process is very difficult. Adults? Born again? No, that's not possible. Like many of us, Nicodemus was probably of the opinion that seeing is believing. But Jesus took that and turned it upside down. And that's why I titled this message, Believing is Seeing. In Luke chapter 17 and verse 20, Jesus told the Pharisees that his kingdom is not known or experienced by observation or inspection. It is experienced by faith or by believing. Now, there's another part here of gathering information, and that is, don't be afraid to show your ignorance. Nicodemus was a religious leader, and yet he readily admitted he was baffled by what Jesus said. I wouldn't recommend this personally, but Jesus actually rubbed it in, as we say. He said, "Aren't you a teacher in Israel, and you don't know what I'm talking about?" You know, too often, we don't learn much because we project the impression that we already know a lot. Our pride prevents us from asking. One of the seven things that's listed in Proverbs chapter 6, where it tells us about the things that the Lord hates, is pride. James says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. If you want to know the truth, then pride must go. Now Jesus builds on what he said earlier. In order to enter into the kingdom of God, a person must be born of water. I believe that's referring to the natural birth, the amniotic fluid that surrounds the embryo or the fetus in the womb. And you must be born of the Spirit. That's a spiritual birth. Being born again is something that takes place outside the realm of the physical. In fact, Jesus said, the spiritual birth is like the wind. You can see the results of it or the effects of it, but the source is hidden. So that's fact number two. The new birth is spiritual. During my high school years, I had a friend who was a Catholic, and I'll call him Bob, even though that wasn't his real name. His family was very serious about their religion. They went to Mass every week. They didn't eat red meat on Fridays, and they had other observations as well. I remember so well when one of Bob's friends became born again. Bob couldn't figure out what had happened. Here was Tim, who he knew was a party animal, and all of a sudden, he's not drinking and partying like he once did. And Bob was like Nicodemus. He was baffled. It was one of the few times he was open to discuss spiritual things with me. Bob could see the difference in Tim, but he couldn't explain the reason for the change. And that's how it is with being born again. So, once more, Nicodemus seems baffled. How can these things be? Nicodemus saw salvation as coming through the law of Moses. But Jesus said Moses didn't ascend into heaven to receive the law. The law was sent down from heaven and was now being fulfilled in the person of Jesus. But Nicodemus didn't see it. So Jesus took him back to something familiar. He reminded him of Numbers chapter 21 and verses 5 to 9. There we have the account of how after the people complained about their living conditions in the wilderness, God sent poisonous, fiery serpents among the people. As you may remember, many of them were bitten, and they were dying. Moses was commanded by God to make a snake from brass or bronze and put it on a pole. And all those who looked upon that brazen serpent on the pole were spared from a painful death. Now, Nicodemus, you explained that one. Was it the brass snake that saved them from death? Of course it wasn't. It was their faith. It was their belief in the promise of God through Moses. If one of those who had been bitten said, "I don't believe it will make any difference whether I look or not," would he or she still have been healed? Absolutely not. And the reason is because of unbelief. So faith is necessary, and that's fact number three. Remember, the first step in understanding the kingdom of God is gather the facts. And that brings us to verse 16, where Jesus lays out some more facts for us to consider. He says, God loved the world. What does that mean? The original word here is cosmos, and it means the entire universe and the inhabitants, including you and me. The root of the word world has the idea of tending or providing for. And so God is not, as some deists believe, a cosmic creator who wound up the universe like a giant watch and then stepped away and left us to ourselves. No, God cares intimately for his creation. Colossians 1 speaking about Christ, says this: "All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things consist." So God's love, expressed in his Son, touches the whole universe. That's fact number 4. God loved the world. And then God gave his only begotten Son. What's the greatest expression of love that you know of? It's giving, isn't it? Giving is an act of generosity, an act of compassion, of blessing, an act of purpose. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, "The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." God gave his only Son, the sole heir that he had. That's fact number 5. Now, the firstborn son had special rights in the family structure. I think it was FTD, the floral company, that had a slogan at one time: "When you care enough to give the very best." Well, I hate to tell them, but that slogan wasn't original with them. That was God's motto. He gave heaven's best, and he gave it for earth's worst. It's one thing to give something to someone who will appreciate it, but how willing are you to give something to someone who will take it and fling it back in your face? God loves those kind of people too. And that's what you and I were before we believed. No thanks, God. I'll run my own life. What's your response to his gift? If you reject it, there's no salvation by any other way. So we've taken the first step. We've gathered the facts. So let's review them. First, you must be born again. This new birth is not physical. It is spiritual. And then, faith is necessary. Fact number 4, God loved the world. And number 5, he gave his one and only Son for your salvation. My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's broadcast. Lord willing, we'll be back next time to finish this teaching, Believing is Seeing. In the meantime, if you'd like a copy of this teaching, just write and request it by its title, Believing is Seeing. It's available in print or on an audio CD. Right now, let's reflect on what we've learned today as the men sing.
Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. Oh, make me understand. To bear our way.
bear away my sin.
Thank you, men. Now, if you'd like a copy of the teaching you heard today, here's our contact information. The easiest way for you to contact us is by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you can call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. You can also log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen to this program whenever it fits in your schedule. We also encourage you to visit our Facebook page. There you can see a daily prayer request, learn about upcoming events, or read an encouraging listener testimony. And it's also an easy way for you to send a message to us. We'd love to hear from you. Now, once again, you can contact us by email at hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 to request an audio or printed copy of this teaching. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter, or you can donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now I hope you'll join me next week for the Voice of Hope as we conclude this teaching, Believing is Seeing. And until we meet again,
Father, I stretch my hands to Thee. No other help I know. If Thou withdraw Thyself from me, whither shall I go? I do believe, I now believe, that Jesus died for me, and that He shed His precious blood from sin to set me. On Thy dear Son I now believe, O let me feel Thy